Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Alternative Vegan Podcast. I must apologize for the audio sound quality, but I kind of wanted just to do a quick and really quick podcast to throw up. Didn't really have time to properly, you know, load up all the correct software and do all the rest of it. So I will try my best in the post to get rid of some of the really sharp sibilance that I tend to use a lot of so that it doesn't sound like piercing in your ears. But if it sounds terrible, let me know immediately so that I can at least try to do something about it so that, you know, other people don't have to suffer. Anyway, I got an email from my friend Margie G down in Georgia. She wanted to know if you can still reach me via the email address that I had given out. Yes, you can still reach me there. It's just I haven't recorded a podcast or written blog posts in forever because, you know, life happens. Things get crazy. You move on, you do the best you can with the time that you have, and, you know, recently in the past year or so, things have been really, really hectic. Had a major move from the New York City area to Jersey City in New Jersey. I'm right by the Journal Square region of Jersey City, so it's a lot easier for me to go grocery shopping since the India town is like a 10-minute walk away. There's, you know, been a lot of changes, you know, some for the better, some for the worse, but I'm trucking on. Life is good. Recently, my sister came to visit me here from Arizona, and the two of us went down to South Jersey for a wedding, and it was a traditional Hindu, you know, all the stops pulled out wedding affair where it was like a 3-day affair, so like we came in on a Friday night and, you know, to like a, I don't know, I guess like a, I don't know if there's an equivalent in American weddings, but it's essentially called a henna night in India, and it's supposed to be for the bride's family to get together and make themselves pretty, so they apply henna to their hands, and, you know, they go through all kind of beauty rituals, and they, you know, sing songs, and they have little dances, and that kind of thing. The modern day iteration is a little different. Rather than having the entire family coming together, it's more like a really good excuse for everybody to party together. So they had little, you know, snacks and cocktails and all kind of things set up all over the place. And there was plenty of vegan food, thankfully, because Indians know how to make vegan food, apparently. So I was well fed. This was not a problem for me. And, you know, had a really good time. But after eating out for all those days, it was a little difficult to come home and face eating anything too terribly heavy. Now, the good thing about this is that my friend Tasha recently went on a diet because she gained a little bit too much weight and she doesn't fit into her pants anymore. And around the same time, that was also when I stopped fitting into my pants and I had to wear baggy shorts every day. Not just baggy shorts. I'm not just talking like cargo shorts or something. I'm talking beach shorts for a period of about 2 months or so because my behind had gotten too big for my pants. And right about now, I can't exactly afford new clothes. Money's really tight. So, like, I had to pretty much wear those crappy, you know, beach shorts for weeks at a stretch. I had two pairs, so I'm, like, rotating through them. And it was getting a little rough. So at home, I'm running around in, you know, pajama pants. Who really cares? But when I go to work, fortunately, I work for bosses who don't really care what I dress like as long as I get the work done. You know, they're just like, get in here, get your work done, get out. And very, very fortunately, the worst of the weight gain happened just before the summer hit. So I didn't really have to worry about wearing jeans because, you know, it's too hot to wear them anyway. So my fat ass waddled around in board shorts for about 2 months and did my best to lose the weight. And it worked. So there's this diet. I want to say McDougal. I could be mistaken. It's maybe it's Dean Ornish. I don't know. It's one of those people, you know, who talks about the plant-based diet to improve your health. And, you know, they talk about avoiding, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Tasha went on this one where you're supposed to avoid all fats and you can eat as many carbs as you want. You can eat pretty much anything you want as long as it's not oil. So, you know, you can have, in extreme moderation, you know, things like coconut, actual coconut, not coconut oil, but like, you know, coconut. You can have like tofu, you can have seitan, you can have tempeh, you can have as many vegetables as you want, you can have as many fruits as you want, as much bread and pasta and rice and all the rest of it. Like, you can eat all these things that you want all day, as long as you don't use anything containing oil, and as long as you minimize the fatty ingredients like avocado or nuts or coconut or seeds or things like that. So although spices are pretty much fair game, you can't bloom them in hot oil, which is, you know, what I've been doing all my life to give them flavor. So when Tasha told me that she's going on this diet and she's kind of trying to figure out what to eat, I was kind of at a loss, but I figured, you know, my ass has gotten too big, her ass has gotten too big. We both need to fit into our pants again because we can't afford new pants right now. So the two of us came up with a couple of ideas on you know, how to eat relatively low fat. Of course, there are still going to be ingredients that you're incorporating into your diet that have either trace amounts of fat or that have healthy fat, and so you're having them in very small moderation. But at this point, let me be perfectly honest, I am not trying to cook with nuts. If I'm going to eat the few nuts that I'm allowed to have in a day, I want to enjoy them and savor them and, like, really get in on them. So I'm not trying to put them in a dish and lose their nuttiness. I kind of want to eat those nuts all by themselves. And the same thing goes for avocado. I'm not going to puree it into a dressing and lose the avocado. If I'm going to eat an avocado, I'm going to eat an avocado, and I'm going to remember that avocado for a while. It's going to be satisfying. It's going to be fatty. And, you know, I've been eating low fat all this time. So it's like, you know, when I have this treat of this, you know, really super dense fat, I want to enjoy it. So all these weird ideas about, oh, since you're eating fat in moderation, you can use the avocado or the nuts as a fat substitute and throw it into the blender and call it a night. It's not going to work for me because, quite frankly, I want to enjoy those few treats that I have, because at the end of the day, if we have a choice between sweet, fat, and salt, I'm probably going to choose fat and salt over sweet any day. So, like, You throw, you know, a bunch of carbs in it, throw a bunch of salt in there, and then, like, have some fat in there somewhere. I am here for this. So for me, avoiding sweets is not the problem at all. Like, I can do without sugars. I can do without refined sugars. I'm quite happy to do without sweets at all. You know, tell me I can't have sweets, I'm like, I don't really care. You tell me I can't have fat and processed carbs, gonna get a little pissy. But I really did need to get this weight under control because, you know, it was getting out of hand. So there's a couple of things that I came up with that I'm gonna share with you now because they were helpful to me and hopefully they'll be helpful to you. Now, there's a salad that I started making where I went and bought the fanciest mustard I could afford because I figure mustard is pretty low in calories. It's got no fat in there. You know, no added fat anyway. I'm sure the mustard seeds have a bit of fat in there, but not enough to actually be, you know, noticeable. Bought the fanciest mustard I could find. There's this, French company called, Pommery that makes this whole grain mustard, and it's best I've ever tasted. It's atrociously expensive. It comes in a porcelain container, with a cork lid, and it's very, very delicious. They have ones with, like, cognac and, you know, red wine vinegar and, like, all kinds of other fancy ingredients. I know red wine vinegar is not fancy, but, like, the specific kind of red wine vinegar that they're using is really good quality. There's the base one, the regular, it's called Mo mustard, where it's just that whole grain mustard. It's got, you know, ground mustard in there too, but it's also got little chunks of the whole mustard, along with their, you know, proprietary blend of spices and whatnot that they add to it. And the beauty of it is that I found that when I'm feeling lazy, that particular mustard made an excellent dressing. So I didn't have to add any oil. I didn't have to add any acid. I didn't have to add any salt or sugar or nothing. I just basically heaved on a few teaspoons of that mustard on top of whatever chopped vegetables that I was trying to eat, let it marinate for like 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, something like that. And it was delicious. It was a delicious accompaniment to whatever it is that I was eating. And it made it so that I could have something that's like a salad, but not make it feel like a salad. I've always taken issue with those salads that are just, you know, boring greens with boring dressing and or sweet dressing. Ugh, don't even get me started on sweet dressing. We're not even going to have that conversation because that's a rant that's going to keep me here all day. And this is a short podcast. But I found that when I used this mustard in place of dressing, I didn't have to add any fat at all. And I didn't really have to worry about refined sugar because I'm not sitting here and trying to, you know, substitute sugar with, you know, agave or something stupid like that. I can just pretty much leave off the sugar because the mustard is perfectly balanced to begin with. And toss it through there. And like, if you want, you can well add some acid and some salt, you know, to taste, or you can add some chilies or black pepper, whatever. Point is, get a bunch of vegetables, chop them up really finely and toss it in the mustard and then let it sit for a few minutes. And if you want to adjust the flavor however you want. For me, I found that, I could use pretty damn near any hard vegetable. It didn't work so well with, things like, boiled potatoes or things like that, because I found that they absorbed too much of the mustard and didn't leave enough flavoring for the rest of the food. So like the potatoes would be bland tasting because they don't have any fat, and so I'm expecting the potatoes to have fat, so they don't taste right. The rest of the vegetables don't have enough flavor because the potatoes hogged it all, and at the end of the day, everything's disgusting. So if you can avoid it, just try to keep this with, like, you know, hard vegetables. The best vegetable I found in this particular combination was the stems of kale and collard greens. And before you run off and come after me with pitchforks, hear me out. The thing is that I love eating the kale leaves and the collard green leaves, but I find that sometimes, even after I cook the stems, they tend to have this odd texture that I don't care for when I have the rest of the greens that are chopped very finely. So I found that after I stripped off all the greens from the kale stalks, I was trying to figure out what to do with it because, again, you know, money was tight at this moment and I'm not trying to throw away something that I spent good money on. Kale at the grocery store, you know, even when I find it on sale, I usually pay at least 89 cents a pound for it, if not, you know, $1.50 a pound. It's very expensive. So if I buy it, you know, I'm going to want to use every part of it that I can. So I did discard the centermost stalk, which was really, really thick and woody, and I didn't much care for that. But the thinner stalks that held the leaves, I was perfectly fine with. So all I did was stripped off the leaves and made that into, you know, like a stir fry, some type of thing. Yes, I stir-fried with no oil. I just used I sliced some onions and threw it in the pan and, you know, sprinkled on some crushed cumin seed and basically used the juices that the onions released to do the sautéing. It was slightly depressing to have to do because I'm used to putting huge amounts of fat in there and watching it sizzle, and that smell of, like, frying onion is delicious. But I wanted to keep this relatively low fat, so I found that if I started the heat on medium-low, I usually tend to start my heat on much higher heat because I want the oil to get hot enough to pop the spices. But for this particular situation, I started it on medium-low, and I sprinkled in the cumin seeds and tossed it to combine it. Then I added the onion and, you know, sort of like combined everything together, sprinkled in a little bit of salt, covered the lid, and I could hear it sizzling while I was processing the kale, you know, to saute in with the onions. And I let it sizzle for like a good, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes or so, give or take. Once I managed to get that going, it was pretty much, you know, smooth sailing from there because I just needed to get that initial liquid released from the onion. Once that initial liquid was released, I could take off the lid, and there was plenty of liquid in the pan. I did have to chop the onions kind of finely, though, because I found that if I made them too big, they wouldn't release enough liquid. So, you know, you would have to add water, which would water down the flavor, which would make it even more boring than it already is because it doesn't have any freaking fat. Sorry about that. I got a little too frustrated. It's been a while since I've had nice things. No, I'm kidding. I'm off of the diet. I'm just remembering those times that I had while I was on the diet, and it was not pleasant because I do like my fat very much, and I couldn't use it. So anyway, I found that if I chopped the onion small, I could, you know, get enough liquid out of there that I can saute whatever it is that I wanted. If you do need to add a little bit of extra liquid, go ahead and add some water. It'll do the job. It's not going to be the best case scenario, but, you know, we're trying to eat without fat right now, so here's what we're going to do. Then you just tear the kale leaves roughly with your hands, throw it in there with the onions, saute it for a while, you know, throw in some, chopped garlic and saute that whole thing together, maybe some soy sauce if you like. If you don't want to add just plain salt, you can add soy sauce. And what happens when you add soy sauce to sauteing vegetables is that they almost get like a crust on them. They get cooked much nicer. They almost taste like they've been fried in fat, even though they haven't, which is kind of neat to know. Then once that's done, you know, while that's cooking, I mainly cooked it on medium-low heat because I didn't really want anything to burn since I'm not adding any oil. I kind of wanted to keep things under control. And I found that I could crank it up to, like, medium-high, you know, over time. As I made this recipe more times, I found that I could go up to medium-high after I added the kale. But the first time I did it on medium-low, and it came out just fine. So, like, if you're nervous about this kind of cooking, go ahead and start on medium-low as well. And see where it takes you. You know, worst comes to it, you know, it takes you a little longer. It's not the end of the world. Fine. So once that kale leaves were going, I took the stems and I chopped them as absolutely finely as I could. I chopped them really, really thin. And then I had some zucchini, so I cubed that up. And then I cubed up like a quarter of an onion. And then I threw in like a few teaspoons of my Mo mustard that had cognac in it. This one's really good mustard. I'm big fan of it. I didn't think I liked mustard until I tasted this one, and this one has changed my religion, so I'm very happy that I met it. Tossed it through with the mustard, put it aside, and damned if it didn't work really, really well. It tasted amazing, and I was very pleased with how it turned out. So that was a success. The kale and zucchini and onion salad. Now, that particular salad you can make a million variations on. It's takes no effort at all to drain a can of chickpeas or red kidney beans or, you know, whatever your favorite bean is, you know, rinse it and drain it, throw it in there along with the rest of the vegetables. You know, you've got more hearty and filling salad. There's no reason why you can't throw in some, you know, steamed quinoa or steamed wheat berries or, you know, whatever other cooked whole grain that you like. I would suggest not using rice just because I feel like I'm not a fan of rice. When it's put into the fridge, it gets this gross texture that I don't much care for. You might have some luck with short grain rice when you make a rice salad, but I just prefer to avoid that situation altogether and just stick with, you know, whole grains like quinoa or farro or, you know, like any of those other whole grains that you get. Bulgur works just fine. Millet works just fine. You know, a ton of different grains that you can throw in there. Bunch of different other vegetables that you can throw in there. This would be delicious with finely chopped daikon or even like turnips or rutabaga or something else like that. You know, those are the heartier vegetables. There's no reason why you can't add some chopped carrots. Those are also very delicious. Takes no effort to, you know, throw them in as well. If you want to make it more like spiced, I guess, you can also add in some grated ginger or some grated garlic or, you know, sky's the limit. And of course, this is the perfect time to use up some of those leftover fresh herbs that you have. So if you've got like a bunch of cilantro lying around and you don't know what to do with it, throw some in there and toss it together. Then just before you serve the salad, get some grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, those really tiny little tomatoes, chop them in half and like serve it as a garnish on top. And the cilantro will taste excellent with the tomato. Now, if you don't like cilantro, basil works just as well, if not better, because basil and tomato are a classic combination as well. If you want something a little brighter, you can also add some chopped cucumber and some dill and some lime juice and toss it together with the same exact technique. We're not talking anything different. We're still starting with the base of kale stems. And I'm very careful to tell you kale stems and not kale leaves, because what happens to the kale leaves is that they get chewy and they get stuck in your teeth, and it's not very pleasant. Whereas the kale stems, when you chop them finely, it just feels really nice and crunchy. It gets a lovely texture, and I'm a big fan of that particular texture that this salad gave me. So start with the base of kale stems, then add whatever vegetables you have. You know, I had zucchini, which is why I used it. But like, if you have something else, there's no reason not to use it. Now, Don't know if I've talked about this one before, but one of my favorite side dishes to serve with any kind of dinner that I'm making is like a quick pickled daikon. What I like to do is peel the daikon with a vegetable peeler, give it a good rinse under cold water so that I can, you know, wash off any dirt or anything that's stuck to the surface. Then I slice it into thin slices, maybe about, you know, 1/4 inch, 1/8 of an inch, something like that. Thin slices. And then take those thin slices and then chop them into thin strips. So they're going to be like, you know, I guess really, really thin daikon French fry looking things. Anyway, you have matchsticks. They're called matchsticks. It's called a julienne. You take that daikon matchsticks and you toss them in plenty of salt. You want a good amount of salt. So, like, let's say for, I don't know, maybe like 1 pound or so of daikon, you want a couple of tablespoons of salt because you want the daikon to let out a lot of that extra liquid and get soft and, you know, get a little bit milder, because daikon can be really sharp and it's not very pleasant to eat if you're not used to the flavor of, like, you know, radish all by itself. If you like that flavor, just add less salt, and, you know, less of it'll come out. It's just, we're adding the salt to soften the daikon physically. We don't want it to be so hard. Let it sit for about 5 minutes. You really don't want it to sit much longer than this, otherwise it'll get over-salted. So you let it sit for 5 minutes, then rinse it off until all the salt is gone. So, like, you want to taste the daikon until it doesn't taste super-duper salty anymore. Again, you're not looking for a salt bomb, you're just looking for softened daikon. Then once you've rinsed off as much salt as you can get, then you're ready to serve it. Like, you can stop right there if you want to. And I cannot tell you how many times I've made this particular daikon recipe and had it being eaten at the end of the night when, you know, all the heavy food is being put away and you just kind of want something to nosh on after, you know, eating all the fried food or eating all the, you know, heavy food or the junk food or whatever. Just kind of want something light to nosh on. And I cannot tell you how many times this daikon, like, gets eaten without fail. I've had very good luck with it. Most recently, I made a iteration of the same exact recipe, but I left the daikon slightly saltier when I finished rinsing it off, and I added, you know, a few pinches of sugar, some rice wine vinegar, and, you know, like, that was it. I tossed it together, and I tasted it, and it was amazing. It was like that sourness of the vinegar and the saltiness of the salt and the flavor of the daikon, and that balance just came out really, really well. You don't want much sugar, just a couple of pinches to just, you know, round out that sharpness of the vinegar and the sharpness of the salt, and, you know, just to give it a nice rounded flavor. It was an excellent accompaniment, and it's something that I like to have on the side. Number one, not just to bulk out the meal, but also number two, to have something that I can reach for and snack on and not feel like I'm eating junk food. Because what I've noticed is that sometimes when I'm hungry, I'm not really hungry, I'm just bored. And learning to separate these signals is difficult. So I found that if I keep around snacks that, you know, really aren't going to do much harm, like, you know, this pickled daikon situation or half sour pickles or kosher dill pickles or, you know, these kinds of, like, fermented foods that you're supposed to eat. Kimchi is excellent to keep around for that reason, because it's great to snack on. It's very good for your body. Kimchi's got all kind of probiotics in there, and there's no fat in there, so, like, you can eat as much as you want of it, and it's cabbage, for God's sakes. You should be eating more cabbage anyway, so, like, really not much you can do wrong with kimchi. So I like to keep these little noshy bits around so that when I do feel like snacking on something, I don't reach for, like, potato chips or, you know, bread and butter, or, you know, well, you know, Earth Balance, of course, but you know what I mean. I'm trying not to reach for those things that are going to cause issues later on and make it harder for me to fit into my pants. So I found that this daikon one was a really good one. That salad is a really good one, because when you add a little bit of rice wine vinegar to give it some more sourness, it keeps in the fridge for ages. Like, I've had this batch of salad in my fridge for, like, 2 weeks now, and it's still good. So if you keep these things around, and the same thing with the daikon. The daikon's been there for a couple of weeks, and it's still fine. It tastes great. So I have no problem with having these little noshes sitting around that keep me honest, shall we say. There's a third discovery I wanted to share with you, and after that, I'm going to have to wrap up this episode so that I can go back to turning on the air conditioner because, you know, the air conditioner makes a lot of noise, so I don't want you guys to have to hear the drone of that in the background. So let me go find the recipe, and I'll share it with you in just a second. Through the magic of radio, I'm back. Anyway, so I found the recipe for you. This was a broccoli soup that I made when I just wanted to sort of have something quick, fat-free, and really easy to make. I did this in my Vitamix. Now, you may not have a Vitamix that, you know, will do the soup quite to the level of puree that I got it to. If you don't have a Vitamix, I will suggest that you do a couple of things differently, but I'll get to them at the end of it. If you do have a Vitamix, then you're in good shape. Go right ahead and follow it exactly. I have two small boiled potatoes that I've taken the skin off of, 1 pound of frozen broccoli, 1 teaspoon of miso paste. I used sweet white miso, but you can use whatever miso you have lying around, 3 tablespoons of chopped onion, water to cover it all up, and 2 tablespoons of nutritional yeast. Optionally, you can also add a teaspoon or so of garlic powder and 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder to boost up the flavor. But I didn't bother because, you know, the stuff that I had in the blender had plenty of flavor. So anyway, then put it on the soup setting and hit start, and you're pretty much good. If you don't have a soup setting, blend it on high until it's a complete puree and it heats up and it starts getting hot. That's how you know it'll be pureed enough. Now, if you don't have a Vitamix, what you can do instead is take the onion and cook it on medium-low heat in the pot until it's softened all the way through. You can get it browned, actually, if you want. You don't have to worry about, like, keeping the color because you're going to be blending this anyway. Then add in 2 peeled and diced potatoes. So rather than boiling the potatoes separately, you want to add them to the onion and you know, sort of cook them together. Add enough water to cover the potatoes and onions, let it come to a full boil, and boil it until the potatoes are tender. Now, if you chop the potato into about 1-inch cubes, you should be able to finish cooking that particular part of it within about like 15 minutes or so at the most. After it comes to boil, if you've chopped them bigger, it'll take a little bit longer. If you chop them smaller, it'll take a little less time. Fine. So assume about 10 to 15 or, minutes or so of the potatoes and the onions cooking together. Now, while those two are cooking together, you can also slice up a few cloves of garlic and throw that in there as well. It'll boost up the flavor. No reason to, you know, skimp on flavor when you're, you know, when you're making a soup without any fat. Once that's done, take the potatoes and the onions out from the water. You don't have to strain it, but just like scoop it out with a slotted spoon and throw it into the bowl of a blender. Then add your broccoli on top of that and add just enough water to cover. Now, if you end up with too much to go into your blender in one go, you shouldn't have more than about 2 cups of stuff in your blender at a time if you have a regular blender. So like maybe split it up into 2 batches if you need to, or 2 or 3 batches or whatever. Add just enough liquid to cover the whole mess, you know, start blending and blend it until it's completely, completely pureed. Now, the reason that you're using different steps for a regular blender than a Vitamix is because the Vitamix actually does get, you know, spin fast enough to cook the onion when you add it in raw. It's spinning fast enough to like cook the broccoli so that you don't have to add boiling hot liquid to it. And the only part of the stuff that was cooked ahead of time was the potatoes, and we're not using those hot. Those are just room temperature. That I had leftover potatoes in the fridge, so I just threw them in. But since if you're using a regular blender, you want to stack the odds in your favor for the recipe to work. So, that's why I'm giving you the instructions of cooking the potato with the onions and then adding them in, because that'll blend a lot easier than, you know, raw onion and, you know, cold potato. Once that's been pureed, if you want it smooth, 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 like you would get it on a Vitamix, you can pass it through a strainer. But if you're not really all that fussed, you know, just serve it as is. And I found that the combination of the miso and the garlic and the onion and the broccoli somehow, and the potato, of course, somehow made a really creamy soup. Like, I don't know how it worked. I don't know why it works. But it was delicious, and I wanted to share it with you so that maybe you can try it too. If you want to spice it up a bit, maybe throw in some green chilies in when you're blending the whole mess so that it's got some spiciness to it. If you want to make it super duper creamy, you can also add in a few florets of cauliflower, steamed cauliflower in there to make it even creamier and thicker and richer. Because I found that when you puree cauliflower, it gets really, really creamy. So these are just a couple of ideas. I do have more ideas about fat-free cooking, and if you guys are interested, please write in so that I can record another episode of it and give you some more of my ideas that I've come up with, you know. And I did lose the weight. I've lost the 15 pounds that I needed to lose to fit back into my pants, so it did work. I stuck with the diet for about a month or so, month and a half, give or take. Maybe about 2 months. I stuck to the diet seriously. You know, I was sort of dabbling before that for about a month and a half. So, like, all in all, it took me about 4 months or so to lose that 15 pounds. That first month, I lost maybe like 6 or 7 pounds just in that first month alone, just by altering some of my eating habits, by cutting out oil and, you know, not restricting my fat intake through nuts or seeds or avocado or anything else like that, but just cutting out oil. I lost the bulk of the weight right there in that first month after that change. And then in the second month, when I had that last 5-6 pounds to go, in the third or fourth month, when I had that last 5-6 pounds to go, that's when I got a little stricter and I cut out also the really heavy fatty things like avocados and coconut and nuts and things like that that I like to eat on a regular basis that I find delicious. You know, I just cut them out because I was like, let me try without it and see if I can do this. And that's when I cleared off the last 5 pounds. If I had not had that final push, I would still be losing weight gradually and in a healthy way, but not fast enough for my needs, because the fall is coming, and as the weather gets colder, I need to start wearing my pants again. This is not the time. So I needed to drop that weight before the cold weather really hit in earnest. And let's be honest, the holidays are coming up in the cold weather, and I'm going to put it right back on anyway. So rather than really calling this losing winter weight, let's just say I'm preparing to put on the holiday weight. Anyway, thank you so much, Margie, for reminding me that I haven't done a podcast in forever. If any of the rest of you want to reach out to me, my email address is altveg@me.com. altveg@me.com. Me as in me. I look forward to hearing from you. I love getting your emails. I read all of them. I may not always respond to them on the podcast, but I will try to respond to you in person as to the best of my abilities. When I do hear from you, it sort of motivates me to make another podcast. So, if anyone is happy to hear from me again, you can thank Margie for reaching out and giving me the poke that I so desperately needed to record another episode. I hope you're all doing well, and again, feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions or comments, and I hope to hear back from you soon. Bye.